Jesus, Savior, may I know your love and make it known. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today's sermon is actually my report as the rector of Palmer Memorial Episcopal Church on the day of our annual parish meeting. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a congregation, not only to give thanks for the past year, but also to dream and pray about the future. And because we believe that our future is in God's hands, moments like today are important as we seek the guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. So we bring our boat into the safety of the harbor on this day in order to mend our nets, just like the sons of Zebedee, and to reflect on the future of the fishing profession. I'm grateful for the dedication of our church staff over the past year, and I especially want to thank Sue Howard, took on a lot of extra responsibilities this past fall during the maternity leave of Tara McConathy, our business administrator. Tara's here with the baby and the rest of her family at this worship service, and Sue's also here somewhere or getting things ready. There she is, right there. Now, she already knows you're gonna take tomorrow off as a partial thanks for that. But what you don't know, I also want you to take another extra week off of your own choosing to thank you for all the extra things that you did for us this fall. That was a lot of fun. I should do that more often from the pulpit. I also want to thank all the members of our congregation who led and participated in our various ministries, for those who've served in the vestry, and especially for the faithfulness of Dr. Jim Key, who has been, and I want to add the word willingly, the senior warden of our congregation, not for one, not for two, but for 3 years. And he's on the front row where he's always sits. It's been a true joy for me to work closely with him. I know that's true for many of you as well. Later this morning, Dr. Key will have some good news to share about how we ended last year financially and about this year's annual budget. And we'll also have an opportunity to hear from one of our former senior wardens, Greg Hambrick, about something that relates to us looking further down the road and strengthening our future sustainability for those who come after us. In the meantime, here are a few things I want to highlight for us as a congregation. This past fall, it was an honor to welcome to this pulpit the very Reverend John Whitcomb, Dean of Coventry Cathedral in the Church of England. He told us how that medieval church was destroyed by the German Luftwaffe in 1940 during the Second World War. Only the spire and the ruined walls remained. And yet out of those ruins came a counterintuitive plea for reconciliation. A mere 6 weeks after a bombardment that had lasted for more than 10 hours, the ordained leader of that cathedral community, standing there surrounded by destruction, said these words in a worldwide BBC radio broadcast on Christmas Day. He said, "We want to tell the world that with Christ born again in our hearts today, we are trying, hard as it may be, to banish all thought of revenge. We are going to try to make a kinder, simpler, a more Christ-childlike sort of world in the days beyond this strife." And who doesn't want that in our own day, too? The Community of the Cross of Nails is an international fellowship that seeks to embody those words. Dean Whitcomb came here to welcome this church into that fellowship. And the Cross of Nails that you see in front of the pulpit that he presented to us is a symbol of our commitment to be witnesses to the power of Christian forgiveness and to seek reconciliation in the world around us. And we do it because that is what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. As most of you know, we also installed in the courtyard a statue called Reconciliation, which depicts two figures embracing. It was dedicated by Bishop Doyle to the glory of God and loving memory of Angela and Stuart Kinzinger. I remember talking to both of them with their son Philip in front of the church last year after a service on Easter Day. In less than 24 hours, Angie and Stuart and four others died tragically in the crash of a small plane. Stuart had been baptized as an adult by a friend of mine from seminary who wrote these words to me. Who knew that Easter's promise of eternal life to all who love the Lord Jesus would become so dear so fast this Easter Monday? Angie and Stuart were, of course, dedicated to the work of Jerusalem Peace Builders, or JPB, which has its Houston office here at Palmer right next door to the rector's study. Each summer, JPB brings Jewish, Christian, and Muslim youth from the Holy Land to spend time together at Camp Allen in Navasota and also in the city of Houston. And there they reflect on their own religious tradition, the traditions of their neighbors, and their relationships with one another. And they do this because these young people, like Palmers, like many of you who are volunteers for these summer programs, want to create a more peaceful world. Related to this work, I'm very excited to tell you that plans are already being made for a joint pilgrimage to the Holy Land in the spring of 2021, with Christians from our congregation, including me, and Jews from Congregation Emmanuel, including my good friend Rabbi Oren Hayon. So look for more details about that in the coming months. Another ministry that fits within the frame of reconciliation is PAR, which stands for Palmers Assisting Reentry. The mission of this group is to facilitate the reentry of people who have been incarcerated back into society. When I mentioned this idea a year ago on the day of our annual parish meeting, it was mostly aspirational, but I'm happy to report to you that it's now a reality. They've been working with the Prisoner Entrepreneur Program, hosting monthly dinners at a transitional home for former prisoners who have been recently released. And they'll soon be expanding these dinners to a second transitional home in another part of the city. They're currently investigating individual development accounts as a way of providing small amounts of funding to be used for housing, education, or work-related expenses. And they're also considering a partnership with Lyft Fund to provide dedicated microloans. If you feel led by the Holy Spirit to be part of this ministry, I encourage you to speak with Palmer's own Kathy Troisi about that. At the most recent annual clergy conference for the Episcopal Diocese of Texas, Bishop Doyle noted that he would be turning his attention to the work of racial reconciliation. That's a theme I'll be exploring in my own continuing education next month at an event in North Carolina. It's also a theme we'll be exploring together here at Palmer in the season of Easter with Dr. Catherine Meeks. She was a sociology professor who retired from Wesleyan College and now serves as the executive director of the Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing in the Episcopal Diocese of Atlanta. When the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Michael Curry, dedicated that center in 2017, he said, "We need not live the past again. We do need to know what it was." Well, amen to that. And in case you didn't read or hear about it, reconciliation is the theme of today's new artwork here at the church. The artwork that's on display thanks to the Palmer Creative Artists Community in the hallway gallery near the Columbarium and the offices for Archway Academy. So be sure to take a look at that as you leave the campus later today. Over the last several weeks, I've been listening to an audiobook of church historian and Oxford Don Diarmaid McCulloch's The Reformation. A few days ago, it described a version of Anglican Christianity that began to emerge within the Church of England around the year 1600. This version of Anglican devotion wove together lots of different strands of thought from the English Reformation to reveal the potential liturgical splendor in Thomas Cranmer's Book of Common Prayer. As McCulloch put it, they did not regard beauty as an obstacle to worshiping God. They would certainly be inclined to put preaching in its place alongside prayer, but give a special value to the highest form of prayer, the sacrament of Holy Communion. They might come to reevaluate bishops, seeing them not so much as reformed superintendents, but as endowed by God with a special authority as guardians of the Christian tradition. I was struck by McCulloch's discussion of the fact that no one really knows what to call this group. There are no satisfactory labels. They were conformists seeking to redefine what that could mean in their own day. So I'll just call them Palmers, because that's the kind of church, we're the kind of church it sounded to me was being described. Those who walk through our church doors certainly encounter beauty, which I believe wholeheartedly comes from God. Part of it is our music and our liturgy, provided by work behind the scenes from members of our dedicated altar guild, from children, youth, and adults in our music ministry who spend hours each week practicing together, from acolytes, Eucharistic ministers, and people who pray with those who want prayers for themselves during or after the liturgy. All of that frames the grace we hear from this pulpit and the grace we receive in our hands in the sacrament of Holy Communion. But it's not only the beauty of our music and liturgy that makes Palmer special. It's also the fact that we're willing to see beauty which comes from God on display for people of all ages at the Houston Museum of Natural Science and in the artistic creativity inside the MFAH, both of which are our neighbors in the museum district. Here we give thanks to God for the beauty of intellectual curiosity across the street in Rice University and in professional researchers and healers at the Texas Medical Center. Here we delight in the beauty of children, women, and men playing in Herman Park and being amazed by the diversity and, yes, even the humor of God's creation as they walk through the Houston Zoo. There are people who are desperate to know that all of those things tie together, that all of those things are gifts from God, and they can make that discovery here. My friends, the good news is that we quite frequently get high marks on welcoming others who come to Palmer as guests. Another reality is that a lot of us, like many other Americans, are coming to church less frequently, even if our commitment to our church remains high. In order to provide the kind of hospitality we're called to provide, to embrace others as Jesus has embraced us, we should be present as often as we can be on Sundays. Think back to the psalm that was sung today, to behold the fair beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And I want to encourage some of you, as I did last year, to consider attending the 11 o'clock service to give that gathering a boost. Think of yourself, even if temporarily, a missionary. I'm sending you on a mission. But it's not just for guests that we come here, it's also for ourselves, or rather it's for God because of what God has done and is doing for us. Having greeters and ushers and an evangelism council is important, but not sufficient. The truth is that we're all greeters and ushers and members of the evangelism council. More importantly, we're all in need of God's love and mercy and forgiveness and acceptance. Everything we find in Jesus. The truth is that we come here like lost balls and high weeds, to pause, to be raised up for a moment by a strength that's not our own, so that we can reorient ourselves in this world, so that we can receive mercy and take that same mercy into a world too often stripped of grace. We come here because we love Jesus and we want others to love Jesus too, whether we meet them for the first time within these walls or somewhere else beyond these walls. We come here because long ago, two fishermen, the sons of Zebedee, were in their boat mending their nets along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked by them and called them away, just as he had called another set of brothers, Simon and Andrew, to leave behind their nets and come with him. We are, surprisingly, by the grace of God, their companions. We're also companions of the people sitting around us today. And we're companions of those who will join us over the coming year after hearing the call of Jesus who says to each and every one of us, follow me. And that, my friends, is why we are here. Amen.
Amen.